Grace to you and peace from the Alpha, the Omega, the ever-present. Amen. I've preached this text for 25 years. Christ the King Sunday, time and time and time again, we get back to the kingdom of Jesus. And I think more than ever, this text is touching my heart. Listen to the conversation between Jesus and Pilate as Jesus comes before Pilate prior to his death. Your own nation, the chief priests, have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, "This kingdom is not, my kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to you. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So are you a king?" And Jesus said, "You say, I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And then what they left out of the lectionary for today. And Pilate asked, "What is truth?" The part that struck me most strongly, especially this week, was that part where Jesus says, "If my kingdom were of this world..." My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would not have let you take me. We would have fought tooth and nail and brought force against you, and we would have gathered together, and we would have done what you have done throughout the world. We would have rained war upon you and kept you from doing this thing you're about to do. That is the way of your world, Pilate. Violence and force and power. But my kingdom is not from this world. That's a powerful word from Jesus, and one that we sometimes forget, especially as Lutherans. We are so into God being present within the world and how God works in the world. So for us to hear Jesus say, "My kingdom is not from this world," seems a little strange. But he says to him, to Pilate, who claims that Jesus is a king, he says, "For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Well, a little more Greek this morning. That word testify is the word martyrion, which we get our word martyr from. I witness, martyr for the truth. Now, we use that word martyr in a different way. We've heard a lot about martyrs lately, people martyring themselves by blowing themselves up for whatever reason, for their faith, for their religion, for their political gains. But the martyrdom to which Jesus calls that testifying, and nothing more and nothing less than testifying and witnessing, is a different kind of truth. So I wonder, what is the truth to which Jesus witnesses? When we think about kings and we think about Christ the King Sunday, it's really hard for us to get away from Rome. It's hard to get away from the monarchy. What we're accustomed to is a structure dedicated to power, to war, to being able to put ourselves over against another, to consolidating opinion, consolidating money so that we can get what we want when we want it. We see it in politics, both international and local. Frankly, we even see it in the church. Kingship listen to our hymns. I love our hymns. They're great. When we sing about Christ the King, we pick hymns that are all about glory and majesty and wonder, and then even that wonderful text from Daniel, and they gathered around, and the king was there, and his hair was white like wool, and there were thousands of people around, everybody praising God. It was like a party, and he will have dominion forever. The British thought that too, by the way, up until about 1776. That's how we think about power and majesty and kingship. But is that the truth to which Jesus witnesses? Is that the truth to which Jesus calls his disciples? If it were so, then imagine a different set of disciples, right? When Jesus gathered the 12 around him, when he gathered those believers around him, who did he gather? There were no CEOs. There were no captains of industry. There were no majors in the military. There was none of that to begin with. The closest was the centurion who said, hey, he really was God. No, when Jesus gathered around and witnessed to the truth, who did he gather? Fisherman, tax collector. April's coming quickly. Prostitutes, women, children, unclean people, all kinds of riffraff. Jesus gathered around him, and that was his witness to the truth. So I wonder what our witness to the truth is these days. Jesus will not, in fact, live out what people hoped in his kingship and in his messiahship. Some, the Zionists, hope that when the Messiah came, the Romans would be wiped off the memory of the earth, and that Israel would be returned to its glory, and the temple built up again, and all would be wonderful, and we would all be back to normal. So often that's the truth that we cleave to. But Jesus, that's not his truth. That's not his kingdom. In fact, it will turn out that having ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey, the truth to which Jesus will testify in the most powerful, invisible way will be on a cross. That's the truth. That's the truth that Jesus testifies, the witness he gives. Now, I want to suggest that perhaps even that cross has been turned around a little too much. If you go to seminary or go to a nice theological school, you'll learn about all the different theories of atonement, most of which are incredibly boring. But the one that mostly we talk about is that Jesus died on the cross for what? For our sins, that we might be saved. It's a transaction. Swipe your card and Jesus takes away your sins. It's a heck of a deal. I don't mean to demean it, but there is a sense in which we sort of say, look, Jesus died and now we're all okay. Scott wrote a beautiful hymn this morning. Beautiful psalm that we sang at the 8 o'clock, which you all didn't get to sing. I'm sorry. It was really cool. And I challenged him to write a hymn about transactional atonement. It'll be awesome. Swipe my card for Jesus. No. But what if something else is going on? What if the truth that Jesus is testifying to is not a transaction? What if it is simply an act of love? What if it turns out there's no transaction at all other than God saying again and again and again, you belong to me and I am yours and you are mine, Alpha and Omega. I love you. And that is the truth. In light of that truth, our efforts as God's kingdom makers, as God's body of Christ, perhaps takes on a different flavor. What if it turns out that the truth to which we are to witness is the sacrificial love of God for all that God has created? What if it turns out that our own martyrdom is really pouring ourselves out for the sake of that world which we know, especially in these days, is in so much pain, so much fear? What truth will we testify to? That God is the king who someday will bring in the armies and wipe out our enemies and make all things comfortable for us? Or that this king has died on a cross for the sake of love, that we might transform that world in peace? It's not an easy truth. And it certainly is not a comfortable one. That day when Pilate questioned Jesus there at the Praetorium, when he began to ask Jesus those questions, he ends up asking the question at the end that probably should most haunt us. What is truth? What is the truth that God calls us to and enlightens us in and sends us out to share with the world? What is truth? Amen.